Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I'm going to be a little bit more sober than I usually am. Now, I'm not saying that when I come onto this radio show, I've been drinking and then, you know, I'm partying with you on the radio show. That's not where I'm going. What I'm getting at is I like to make the show lighthearted. I want you to have a good time when you're here. And I also want you to learn something. I want you to learn something that could change the trajectory of your life. And I spend a lot of time scouring the universe looking for information that I think is appropriate for you. So on today's show, I was going to talk about what's going on with pricing for real estate, because you and I can admit that pricing for real estate, well, it's got its own mind. Would you agree with that? I think pricing is kind of, I think it's grown into this crazy animal that is just going up and up and up. That's what I think is going on. Now, there's a certain point where pricing will level out, but I don't think we're there yet. And I don't know if we're going to be there for a while, to be honest with you. But rather than talk about pricing, rather than talk about a Forbes article that I read that Forbes admitted that they got the data wrong and they actually did a republishing of a new article to correct the old article because they said pricing was going to mellow out. And then they found out, well, wait a minute, it's not mellowing out. It's still going up. So they retracted their statement. They published a correction. I actually have to give them a pat on the back for that. I really do, because I'm not sure all media outlets, I don't think they're all objective. I think there is some subjective thought that goes into what they report. So when I see a news outlet being objective, I think that's good. Okay, the reason I'm all over the map is because I have something I want to share with you. Something very personal. Something that I learned about a couple weeks ago when I was doing this radio show. Yeah, let me just tell you what happened. So I was doing the radio show like I normally do. I was giving you information that you can use. I was probably, you know, telling you that the retirement system is broken. And if you don't think so, just stick around for a little while. You'll realize it's broken. Or maybe I was doing a show on how real estate can kick the stock market's butt just about any day. It's very possible I was doing that kind of show. And whatever the show was, my phone went off during the middle of the show. Now, I always keep it on silent, so you didn't hear anything. But my phone, you know how when your phone goes off, the call comes in, it all of a sudden lights up. And if you've got that caller ID stuff on your phone, it gives you the name of the person. Okay, so I usually get a bunch of spam calls. I'm sure you get spam calls a lot too. So usually when my phone goes off, I glance at it, and it's not really a call that's ultimately intended for me from somebody that I know. It's usually spam. But in this particular case, this call that came in, I recognized the name. Now, the first thing that went through my mind was, wow, some hacker got a hold of this guy's account. Now he's calling me using this guy's name because he wants to spam me because he wants to get me to answer the phone. Well, since I was on the radio, I didn't do anything with it. I just figured it would just go to voicemail and usually get those 2 or 3 second voicemails that they even get into your voicemail, and you just delete them, right? Well, this particular call went to voicemail. And after the show, I listened to the voicemail. And sure enough, it was the person that I thought was calling me. And I called him back. And he said, "Man, are you sitting down?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm sitting down. I haven't talked to you in, good grief, 10, 12 years. How are you doing, brother?" And he says, Well, I'm actually doing really well, but I've got some information I need to share with you that is not making me feel very good. And I thought to myself, okay, all right, well, what's going on, man? What's going on? And he said, hey, Al, Billy died. And I got a very emotional, kind of like I'm getting right now. Now, I'm trying not to go into tears here. I'm trying to keep it all together. I did a lot of my crying a couple weeks ago when this news came out and it was presented to me. And it hit me, this news hit me like a ton of bricks would hit you if it fell off a building and you were standing below it. It crushed me. Now, you're probably wondering who Billy is. Well, Billy is actually Sergeant Major retired William Wilson. I called him Billy. Now, Billy was a soldier. He was a soldier like I was. And I'll tell you, Billy was one of those soldiers that, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. When I first met Billy, I just knew he and I were going to get along. We both kind of had that same live young, or how does it go? Live fast, die young, leave a good looking corpse attitude. But later on in life, we kind of rejected that because we realized that that wasn't a successful game plan for life. But Billy, to me, well, Billy was a man's man. There's no other way to describe Billy. And Billy was my man's man. Yeah, he was the guy that I would look to when I needed an image for what I thought a well-rounded, solid dude was. And that was Billy. Now, we're going to go to break, and I'm going to get my composure back. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what's happening to Billy's family right now. It's not good. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day financial freedom seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5 and I made about $60,000 each. That was another $300,000 that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price, plus get a second year membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, let me tell you about Billy. Billy was 6'3", about 230, maybe 235 pounds. Yeah, he was the kind of guy that football coaches would look to because he looked like a linebacker. Yeah, that's the way Billy looked. I mean, he was a big dude, and he looked like a linebacker. And he was a hell of a soldier. There's no other way to describe who Billy was. Now, when I met Billy, I was taking command of a unit, and Billy had just been assigned to that unit, and he was responsible for taking care of some of the day-to-day operational pieces of that unit. As a matter of fact, he was assigned as a Sergeant First Class. That would be the rank of E7, but he was doing the job of a Master Sergeant. in the Army, a master sergeant is an E8. So we had an E7 who had not been trained correctly doing the job of an E8. And you know what Billy did? He did it flawlessly. Yeah, the guy, he was one of those guys that if he didn't understand something, he would figure out how to do it. He would ask questions. He would go to people that knew what they were doing. He was not willing to sit in a zone where he was unfamiliar with something. Yeah, the guy had a mind that just worked at warp speed. Another way to describe Billy. So Billy is assigned to this unit. I come in, I take command. I recognize what this guy's doing, and I take a liking to him immediately, because anybody that makes my life easier is a team player for me. And Billy was definitely a member of my team. Over time, Billy did eventually promote. We were able to get him promoted to the rank that he deserved. And then I got reassigned to another command. I went up a command level, if you will. I went from a battalion commander, I went to a deputy commander position at a brigade level. And there was a position at that command that was an E9 position, and I wanted it for Billy. Now, there are mechanisms in place that try to allow for making sure people are fairly treated when it comes to promotions, okay? So Billy had to go through a promotion process. In other words, he had to be boarded and everything like that. And we held the promotion back because we knew this boarding process was going on. And I had a sneaking suspicion that Billy was probably going to come out right at the top of the list, so we'd be able to select him for promotion. Sure enough, he came out number one on the list. We were able to select him for promotion. We made him a sergeant major. And not too long after that, it was time for me to go away, go do something else. It was time to go overseas. And I went overseas as a deputy commander of a brigade unit, and I left. And after that assignment, I retired. Now, when I knew Billy, I was living in California. That's where I was stationed. I was stationed in the Central Coast of California, beautiful place called Camp San Luis Obispo. It's a part of San Luis Obispo, California. It is, okay, for those of you that don't know where San Luis Obispo is, literally, it is halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco, right along the West Coast, right along the Central Coast of California. It is a beautiful place. It's just a beautiful place. Well, after I left the military and retired, and because I retired in Texas, and I decided that I was going to do something else with my life. I did. I wanted to kind of step away from that military mindset, and part of me doing that was, unfortunately for me, stepping away from relationships that I had made throughout my entire military service. About a year ago, let's call it 8 months. Let's go with 8 months. So 8 months ago, I had a heart attack. And I actually had the heart attack while I was broadcasting. It's amazing how all these life events happen to me when I'm sitting in front of this microphone. I don't know what it is about you, Mr. Microphone, but you seem to get all the attention. Anyway, I had a heart attack. And I went to the ER, and they admitted me, and they figured out what was going wrong. And they did a catheterization on my arteries. And I'll tell you what, I feel great. I have a brand new stent in one of my arteries, and I feel like I'm alive again. I had no idea that the decline in life that I was experiencing had to do with the fact that I had a blockage in my heart. After that heart attack, I made a decision in my life that I needed to start rekindling some of the relationships that I had had previously in my life, especially my military relationships, because, well, I just kind of had a moment where I realized that things are very precious. And a lot of those relationships that I had made, even though I had made a decision to step away from the military, I didn't have to necessarily step away from the people. So I started reaching out to some of these people. And Billy was one of these guys that I reached out to. And I remember sending him a text. I said, hey, man, you doing okay? And then I didn't get anything back. And I figured, all right, well, he's probably mad at me. Because when I came home from war, he was one of the few people that did reach out to me. Because he understood that there were things going on with me that only somebody like him could understand, because he had already experienced some of those things that I experienced. To be honest with you, you don't get to experience some of this stuff unless you go into armed conflict. Let's just leave it at that and step away from that topic. Well, I was a bad friend. I really was. And I didn't do a good job of maintaining that relationship. And I let time get between somebody that I love and admire. There's no other way to describe it. And after my heart attack, I started changing things. And I had reached out to Billy. Well, Billy and I, we connected. And I found out that, yeah, he was a little upset with me. He was. He was hurt. Because what I did hurt him emotionally. Now, it's a brotherly love thing. What I probably have not shared with you is that Billy is one of these guys in my life that made a huge difference in my life. He's a person that I bonded with professionally and friendship-wise. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. And when I got that phone call that he had passed away, I realized that something that I valued, something that I put a very high value on, my friendship with Billy, that it's gone. It's totally gone right now. I can't pick up the phone and call him. If I do, his wife is going to pick up the phone. And she's going to wonder why I'm calling. I can't call him anymore. I can't go have a beer with the guy. All right. I promised I was going to tell you what was going on with his family. And it has to do with finances. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about the impact of death. Stick around.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So you're probably wondering what death does to somebody's family. Now, you may have experienced it. You may know all about this. You may not need me to explain this to you. Or maybe you do. Maybe you really don't know what happens to a family when a primary family member passes on. Yeah, because trust me, Billy was 51 years of age. He was 51 years of age, and he died of a heart attack. He died of the very thing that I called him about after I had mine and expressed to him hey, man, I'm sorry. I was a bad friend. I want to build this relationship back up. By the way, I had a heart attack. Go get yourself checked out. I mean, that was kind of where we were at. And then when I found out that he had died, and then I found out that he died of a heart attack at the age of 51, it hit, man, it just hit home. It hit home. Because that could have been me 8 months ago when I had my heart attack. Yeah, it could have. Now, let me explain my heart attack. I had a blockage in one of the middle arteries. You got like three on each side of the heart. Okay, I'm not a heart surgeon. I'm not a doctor. I didn't do well in biology. But here's what I know. You got like six main arteries. Okay, one of those arteries, you get a blockage in there. That's called the Widowmaker. You're done. I think that's what happened to Billy. Mine was in a middle artery that had a 20% blockage that broke. A portion of it broke off that created an 80% blockage. That's what they found out when they went in there. And the other 20% was being blocked by what was a blood clot forming. And they got it all in time for me. So that could have been my result 8 months ago. And I will tell you, I had a rude awakening. I did. I had a huge wake-up call. And I told everybody about my heart attack. Those of you that listen to this radio show, you know I've talked about it on the show. Because I want you to understand that life is precious. I also want you to understand that decisions that you make will affect the people you love. Yeah, so if your spouse is saying, go get checked out, go get pre-screened, and you're being, oh man, I don't need to do that. I'm fine. Well, stop being John Wayne and go do what your spouse asked you to do, will you? Yeah, because here's what I found out about Billy. He had told his spouse that he was having some shoulder pain in the left side of his body. Yeah. One of the things that tends to happen when you have a heart attack is you tend to get pain in the left side of your body that can originate in the shoulder and go down the arm. Yeah. Now, I never felt that pain because I actually take medication that actually prevents me from feeling a lot of feelings in the left side of my arm because I have a lot of nerve damage in there. If I didn't take the medication, I'd really be hurting. So I didn't get that effect. So, but Billy did. And Billy didn't do anything about it. Sadly, he didn't. And now Tina and I are getting ready to get on a plane, and we're going to go out to California, and we're going to go spend some time with his family, and we're going to go pay our respects to him and his loved ones. Now, one of the things I had actually been telling Billy about was what I had been doing since I had left the military. And the big aha thing for him was when I was explaining to him how I was able to finally retire using real estate. Because Billy knew my financial situation. He knew that when I came back from war and was retired from the military, I had to get back into the workforce. Yeah, because I was trying to live off of a pension that was paying me one-third of what I'd been making on active duty. Okay? It was a financial Armageddon in my household. Billy knew about it. I was actually talking to him, you know, before I totally isolated myself. So he knew about that stuff. So when I had talked to him after my heart attack, I was telling him about how I invest in real estate, how we had joined Lifestyles Unlimited and paid attention to the education. And by doing the things that we were taught to do, it totally changed the trajectory of our lives. And Billy was actually interested. He was actually interested because, like me, Billy had also retired from the military. He retired as a command sergeant major. And when he retired, he, like me, earned a pension. And that pension, like mine, paid him about one-third of what he'd been making when he was on active duty. Okay, so what did Billy have to do? Well, Billy had to go back out, and he went and found employment. Now, he found kind of this, we'll just call it paramilitary employment. All right. So he was kind of working in a military environment, being paid similar pay and allowances, but it wasn't by the federal government. Okay. Let's just leave it that way. So he was actually making pretty decent money. So in retirement, Billy was actually making a little bit more than he was making prior to retiring from the military because the new job was paying him almost what he had made when he was serving in the military. You tracking with me? Okay, and then he had that pension coming in and kind of making up the difference, and actually there was a little extra spillover. He was actually making more money. But he was doing exactly the same thing that I was doing after I retired, trading time for money, taking his skill set and exchanging it for a paycheck, because that's what Billy knew. And when I was telling him about all of this real estate investing stuff, first of all, he thought I was smoking dope. He did. He said, "Are you smoking dope, Al?" And I go, "Well, no, I'm not. But why do you ask?" And he goes, "Because it sounds like everything you're talking about, this doesn't sound like the Al I know, the Al that was had this wicked financial mind and could figure out the DOD financial system and was able to navigate." And that's one of the things I was able to do. And I said, "No, this stuff's real." So I started sharing with him what I was doing. And I was actually planning a trip later on in the year. And Tina and I were going to go out to the West Coast. We were planning to go see all of our friends. And to be honest with you, I wanted to share the good news of Lifestyles Unlimited with everybody that I knew, because I knew that most of those people were trying to get by the way I was trying to get by when I initially retired. Okay, so now that trip has just been accelerated. Boom. It's been accelerated because I have talked to Billy's spouse and I understand what is going on in her world. See, Billy, he was the breadwinner. He was the guy that put on the uniform every day, went to work, did what he had to do, and came home every night. He brought the income into the household. Now, his wife, stay-at-home mom, her primary responsibility, raising those two beautiful children that they had together. Wonderful kids. She did an outstanding job. But here's the problem. Billy can't go to work anymore. That stopped a couple of weeks ago when he had his heart attack. And he didn't make it back from that heart attack. He can't go to the office anymore and trade time for money. He can't do that because that doesn't exist anymore. It's off the table. Now, his wife can't go do that job because that job requires some very, very specific skill sets. I'm not even qualified for half of what he did in that job. So, what does it mean financially for his family? All right, let's break it down. I told you that Billy had retired, right? So he was getting a pension. Oh, when you die, your pension goes away, unless you're paying something called survivor benefits. If you're paying into that, then your spouse gets 55% of what you made. Oh, it gets worse. When we come back from the break, I'm going to lay it all out for you. Stick around.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, "Look, here's what I want you to do." He said, "Tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power." He said, "Point it out for me." And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, I'm going to break down for you the financial impact of Billy's passing. Yeah, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. So let's start with the passive income that Billy actually earns. He did have passive income. Now, none of this passive income came from real estate. We had not gotten that far. The passive income that Billy earns is based off of his over 20 years of active duty service in the military. Yeah, he, like me, retired from the military, and he earns a pension. That pension was paying him about one-third of what he had been making when he was serving on active duty. Okay? So you think about that. He's got a reduced amount, but he doesn't actually have to do anything for it anymore, because that's the trade-off for the pension. You give us 20 years, we'll give you an income stream. Okay, so that income stream was coming in. But when the service member dies, that income stream stops. It stops. It's done. It's over. No more pension. Except in one instance. If the service member and the spouse agree to enrollment in something called the Survivor Benefit Program, okay? The Survivor Benefit Program is like, it's like an insurance policy, if you will, kind of like an annuity, if you will. And you take some of the money that you earn from your pension and you divert it to this thing, so that in the event that you die, your spouse can still draw the pension. But here's the problem. That pension comes at a reduced rate. It does. It comes at a 55% rate of what he had been earning. So let me explain it to you. Let's say Billy was making $3,000 a month on his pension. That's what was coming into his household. If you do the math, that check is going to be reduced to around $1,600 and change, because he is no longer there. But his wife is still raising two kids. One's in college, one's in high school, and she doesn't work. She volunteers her time because that's what she enjoys doing, but she doesn't go out and trade time for money. So right away, 45% of one source of income went away. It's gone. And trust me, Billy didn't eat 45% of his pension check. Okay, you tracking with me? Another thing that Billy earned, was a disability payment. Yeah, Billy was injured in the line of duty. And as a result of being injured in the line of duty, he filed with the Veterans Administration, and the Veterans Administration gave him a rating. And with that rating, he would get a monthly payment. Now, I don't necessarily know what his percentage was. I know he wasn't 100% totally disabled. Okay, I know he didn't get to that level. He was probably like in the 50, 60, maybe 70% range. I'm not 100% sure. We didn't really even talk about that. But here's the thing. Whatever that payment amount is, will be reduced. It will be reduced. It's going to be replaced by something called, oh, get this, another Survivor Benefit Plan payment program. And what's going to happen is this new program is going to replace what he was earning as far as the disability payment, and it's going to come in around, I don't know, $1,450. Now, I think she gets an extra $350 for her youngest child because he's 17, but as soon as he turns 18, that payment goes away. I do know this. That combined amount is about a little bit less than I'm pretty sure Billy was earning on the disability side. Okay? So there's going to be a reduction of income there. Billy was earning a salary that paid him the equivalent of being a master sergeant in the United States Army. It's not bad pay, okay? With all the allowances that would go with it. So he was making very good income. When he stopped working because he passed away, the job stopped. Yeah, that job didn't have a pension component. It didn't have a, hey, if you leave now, we'll give you a lump sum component. It just stopped. So the bulk of income that was coming into that family is no longer there. Now, one of the things Billy did have, he had a $400,000 life insurance policy, and I know that that policy is in the process of being paid out. But here's the problem. I know that it cost his family about $6,000 a month just to make ends meet. And I know this because I had this conversation with Billy when he was still with us. So I, you know, because we were talking the nitty-gritty stuff. And here's the problem. His family was bringing in more than $6,000 a month. I mean, Billy was actually very happy about it. He was very happy about it. They had extra money to go do things. He was kind of excited about that. But the income streams that that family receives now are approximately one-third, and actually less than one-third. It's closer to 25% of what Billy had been bringing in. So think about it. If he's got a $400,000 life insurance policy, just a $400,000 life insurance policy, that's what he has, and that's what's being filtered right now. And let's say his family is getting at least $2,000 a month from the remaining payments that are still legitimately payable to his family now that he has passed away. There's still a $4,000 gap in what it takes to operate the household and what they receive. So what does that boil down to? Well, it really means that if his family chooses to take that $400,000 and they choose to use it to offset their living expenses, they can go for about 100 months. You heard me correctly, about 100 months before the money runs out. That's a little over 8 years. Now, I will tell you, Billy's spouse, she's not even 50 yet. She's younger. Okay, she's got a lot of life ahead of her. So going 8 years and running out of money, that's not the right ticket. Now, I know they've got equity in their home, but tapping into that to live off of, that's not the right way to go either. What I'm going to do when I go out to California is I'm going to sit down with Billy's spouse, and I'm going to explain to her how she can take that $400,000 and invest it in real estate. And then I'm going to tell her how she can tap into the equity in her house. And even though I know she's nervous about that, because I've had conversations with her about this way back in the day, okay? She's not one of those persons that thinks messing with your equity is a wise thing to do, okay? So she's kind of brilliant when it comes to that. But if you think about this, what I'm going to show her is that she'll have access to about $700,000, just $700,000. Here's the other thing I'm going to show her, that if she invested that money correctly, and of course, we're going to have to teach her how to do it. She's going to have to come to Lifestyles Unlimited. She's going to have to learn how to do this correctly. She's a brilliant lady. It's not going to be that hard. She can invest that whole $700,000. And if she just earned 6%, just 6% return, that would produce for her about $42,000 per year, which actually makes up about $3,500 of the $4,000 that she might be short right now. Now, here's the beautiful thing. She could pinch her pennies a little bit. She could get that cost of living down a little bit. She'd get all that money deployed. She could be doing fine as far as having the passive income coming in that she doesn't have to go to work. She doesn't have to change her lifestyle. And then as those assets mature and they start returning her capital to her, she can take that money and reinvest it, trading one asset for two, and effectively doubling her position in the next, say, 3 to 7 years. That's the beautiful thing of real estate. And the difference here is this. By investing it correctly in real estate, she's going to take $700,000. Now, she has to make up her mind that she wants to do this, but she can take $700,000 and she can create income streams for the rest of her life and never have to worry about it. Or she could take all of that money and she could just do what most people do, start living off of it. And at around the 11-year mark, maybe as she's getting to the age of, say, 60 or 61, she will have run out of money. And where does she turn there? This is why I think it is so important for me to go out to California and have this conversation with Billy's family, because I feel an obligation to Billy. I absolutely feel an obligation to this man. This man, trust me, this man saved my life. Yeah, I won't even get into why, but he saved my life. And now what I need to do, I need to go save his family's life. I need to save their financial future, because I love that man. I love his family. And I'll tell you what, real estate is going to make a difference for them. If you want to do the same, go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com, get signed up, and let's get you going too.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.